This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, this week on the Paracast, we finally found a way to get J. Randall Murphy back on the show. When we had Bryce Sable last week, we couldn't connect three people. Now, maybe Skype decided that day that three was a crowd. I don't know.
I don't know, Gene. That was weird. You know, you could get him on your end, and then I could get him, and I could get you, and you could get me, but we couldn't all group connect for some unknown reason. And then the next day, everything was fine. But it was a really good show. I had to listen to it, and, you know, I sat back, and I was like, what do you need me for? You know, you did a really good job of that.
Thank you. Yeah, I've known Bryce for a few years, and we're both pop culture nuts, he being a producer and screenwriter, and I being a very would-be screenwriter as to the latter. But in any case, I think we had a great time there. We were talking very much about the possibility of disclosure and, of course, his friendship with Stanton Friedman.
With his upcoming work, too, right?
Sure.
Oh, I did have some questions I really wanted to ask him, so we have to get him back before the end of the year again.
We have to find a way to get that to work with all three of us online. So we have to see how that works. Our guest today, Lewis Proud, however, we got him to connect with both of us. Hello, Lewis.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Now, before we get into the book and some other stuff I had here, how did you first get involved in writing books on these borderland subjects?
Right. It really all started back in, it really sort of goes back to my sleep paralysis experiences. And I did write a book about this called Dark Intrusions. It was published back in 2009. So I was having quite frequent sleep paralysis episodes. This started sort of in my late teens, and then I started writing about it. So pretty much up until my early to mid-20s, I had quite frequent sleep paralysis episodes. And for those of you who aren't, you know, familiar with the condition, it's basically sort of a twilight state of consciousness. It's between you find yourself in that state of sort of your body is still asleep, but your mind is awake. And, you know, you're basically still in sort of the REM dreaming state, although it certainly doesn't feel like it. You feel completely awake and alert. And your body is, of course, paralyzed in that state to prevent you from acting out your dreams. So when you find yourself in this very strange state of consciousness, all sorts of weird things can happen. You can experience a whole range of, you know, so-called hallucinations, which can be tactile. So sometimes you'll actually feel something touching you. There's usually a sense presence as well, and it tends to be a malevolent presence. And also you can hear, in some cases, voices and that sort of thing. So I had quite a few of these episodes, and some of them were quite terrifying. And it really did feel on a few occasions as though I was having, you know, I mean, I described them as spirits, basically. It seemed as though I was making contact with other beings, if you like. And, you know, I think it's also, it is hard to, even though these experiences are sort of dismissed as hallucinations, I think that there is a genuine paranormal component to some of these experiences, and it certainly ties into a lot of other paranormal phenomena as well. People who are in haunted houses, for example, describe a lot of the same things happening to them, and there can be all sorts of weird things that happen. Like, you know, for example, I remember experiences where there was this seemed to be like an evil presence at the foot of my bed, and it was basically kind of shaking the bed all night kind of thing. So really creepy stuff. So I started to read a lot about paranormal phenomena. And, you know, the first books that I read would have been books by authors like Colin Wilson and John Keel. And then I decided to sort of delve a little more into sleep paralysis. And although there is obviously a, you know, physiological component to it, there is also, I would say, a genuine paranormal component as well. And that's when I wrote that book, Dark Intrusions, an investigation into the paranormal nature of sleep paralysis experiences. And I've been writing about these sorts of topics ever since.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about here,
mm-hmm.
these so-called UFO abductions are often blamed as related to sleep paralysis. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think that when people say that they have been, you know, abducted, you know, by aliens, I would say what's actually happening, and you know, John Keel talked about the same thing. He said that really they're going into a kind of a trance state. They're entering a sort of altered state of consciousness. And these experiences might be happening, you know, for example, on an astral level. I mean, some people talk about sort of leaving their bodies and that sort of thing and then floating up into a spaceship. So it could be kind of an out-of-body experience. But I really don't think that they are, you know, physically being taken on board, you know, spaceships or anything like that. And I think it certainly does tie into sleep paralysis because, once again, it's got to do with that altered state of consciousness. And perhaps when people are in that altered state of consciousness, they do genuinely make contact, you know, with other beings. Perhaps it's a way of, you know, sort of exploring other dimensions and realities, because when we're in that state, we're able to tune into different wavelengths of reality, for example. That would be my take on alien abductions.
Now, one of our frequent writers here, a guy who calls himself Red Pill Junkie, a very popular mm-hmm. blogger, he suggested, and he's not the only one, that yep. a near-death experience and a UFO abduction experience are related. Are they both
right.
related to sleep paralysis? Obviously, if you're clinically dead, that's another yep. thing.
Right. Well, I mean, look, the sleep paralysis state is basically, it's kind of a gateway into, you know, other realities. Sometimes people will have, you know, out-of-body experiences when they're in that sleep paralysis state. So it seems to kind of facilitate out-of-body experiences in some cases. So, you know, people will talk about, yeah, feeling that paralysis in their body, and then sometimes they'll feel like a sort of vibrational kind of sensation, these sort of waves or vibrations that move through their body, and then the astral body, as they describe it, seems to kind of detach from the physical body. So, and, you know, Robert Munro talked a lot about this as well in his books on out-of-body experiences. The state of consciousness that he describes in those books sounds very much like the sleep paralysis state. You know, so there's definitely an overlap there.
Well, when we've got something like, say, lucid dreaming, then the surroundings that we're in, the world that we're in, the reality that we're in is a subjective reality manufactured by your brain. Human mind is an incredibly powerful thing. And so, you know, yes, we could say, okay, well, you know, we are experiencing other realities, but that's not the same as saying we're experiencing another objectively real reality. Yeah. You know, it's our imaginations are wonderful things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, those things that you see in there, if it were in our immediate vicinity, could be detected by, say, radar or camera or something along the lines where it's able to record physical reality that's objective and separate from our minds.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, but there does seem to be even though people, you know, when people talk about their dreams, et cetera, even though that experience was unique to that person, you know, we can't discount the possibility that maybe they did visit some other kind of reality. I mean, we don't know exactly what happens when a person is, for example, in the dream state, but when we come back to sleep paralysis, there does seem to be kind of what people describe in the sleep paralysis state, there's a lot of consistency between these experiences. I suppose that's a very odd thing.
Lewis Prowds joins us. His latest book is called Borderland Phenomena. With Gene Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription-strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now 1-800-583-8662 or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662 or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Lewis Proud joins us. He's getting used to our rhythm here, which is we have to do these breaks every 9 to 11 minutes. And sometimes we have to interrupt. But you can pick up where you left off, Lewis. Go right ahead.
Yeah, certainly. So I was just talking about sleep paralysis and how people describe experiencing the same thing again and again. So there's all these consistencies between these experiences. So even though sleep paralysis is, you know, related to REM sleep, what people are experiencing, it seems to be quite consistent. So often people talk about a malevolent presence, for example. They talk about, you know, hearing voices and that sort of thing. Some of the things that people describe seeing are also quite similar as well. So I think that maybe there could be some kind of objective reality behind what people are experiencing. But, you know, once again, there's no way that I can prove, for example, that it's not just, you know, someone's imagination. So, you know,
Is a way to prove it. And that would be to be able to interview someone who's had one of these experiences that says, well, yeah, I received a message and this message told me that this is going to take place, or that there's a certain thing here that we need to look at. And then you can go there and you can see if it's there, or you can see if whatever it said is going to take place actually does take place, that sort of thing. So there has been, say, like premonitory dreams people have had. Other people have had, for lack of a better term, some sort of a similar psychic experience where they were out searching for someone and just had it shown to them in some way that we don't understand, that they're over in this direction, and they go look, and lo and behold, there's the person that they were missing. So there have been a couple of cases like that, but not very many.
Absolutely. And it's very difficult to set up experiments of that nature. You know, I mean, these sorts of experiences don't kind of lend themselves very well to, you know, those types of scientific experiments, I suppose. You know, I mean, I know about, you know, sort of experiments they've tried to do with out-of-body experiences where they might have an object, you know, in a box situated above the person. And then that person, of course, is supposed to leave their body and then, you know, view the object from some, you know, sort of bird's eye view, some kind of angle that they wouldn't be able to see it if they were just lying down. So that kind of thing.
The AWARE study did exactly that. And that was done by doctors in operating rooms in hospitals under controlled conditions. And not one single person was able to correctly identify any of the imagery or messages that were up above them.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's really got to do with, these are parapsychological experiments, and parapsychology maybe hasn't advanced to the point where the experiments themselves are kind of sophisticated enough to be able to, find evidence for these sorts of things. I mean, there is some sort of compelling data, but, you know, when it comes to out-of-body experiences, sleep paralysis experiences, you know, you're right. It is hard to try and, you know, prove that it is nothing but the person's imagination. You know, I mean, I accept that. And, you know, my angle on sleep paralysis, you know, I'm not really trying to prove anything to anyone. I was, you know, really sort of discussing my own experiences. You know, those experiences are, you know, unique to me and they're meaningful to me. But, you know, to try and to prove to someone else that, you know, this actually, I experienced something on another dimension or another plane of existence, there's really no way that I can kind of prove that, which is unfortunate, I suppose. But nonetheless, a lot of people have read the book and, you know, they've said, wow, you know, I've experienced something very similar. And there does seem to be something out there. There's, you know, there does seem to be maybe other entities that people are interacting with, that kind of thing. But to try and prove it objectively, scientifically, is very, very difficult.
The significance of the experiences, however, I would submit should not be discounted or simply ignored. Just because we don't have that repeatable empirical sort of evidence that would show us that there is something objectively real involved doesn't necessarily mean that there might not be some other kind of an influence on a subjective level from, say, I don't know for sure now I'm reaching out there, but some sort of collective unconscious or even some sort of a psychic connection or a telepathic connection. And we may not be able to prove those things. But maybe with enough study and enough people being able to come forwards and talk freely about them, we might still be able to learn something. So don't get me wrong. I think they're fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Before we get more into
such subjects, I want to move into something that just struck me offhanded in the subtitle of your book, Borderland Phenomena. The first subtitle, Spontaneous Combustion. Now, I'm going to ask you what this relates to, because we did shows on spontaneous combustion early in the history of the Paracast, going back to 2006. We've been around for a while. And then we were talking about spontaneous human combustion. But what are you referring to?
Yeah, I'm referring to exactly that, spontaneous human combustion. Yeah, I mean, it certainly does seem to be something that is unique to humans as well. But, I mean, if you want me to provide a sort of definition of what I mean by that term, I'm happy to give you one.
Please do.
Okay, yep. So basically it's an unexplained phenomenon whereby the human body is almost entirely reduced to ash. Seems to occur generally within a period of around 10 to 12 hours, although it is hard to put a time frame on it. And what seems to happen is that the person seems to basically catch fire from within, and then it essentially just reduces their body to ash, although there can be, of course, parts of their body that remain unburned. There's usually sort of one or more limbs that are unburned, and they're still clad in clothing, generally speaking. And the other odd thing, too, is that nearby objects seem to be pretty much untouched as well. So, you know, for example, the victim may be found in their home. There'll be furniture nearby, et cetera, that hasn't been burnt. And, you know, the house itself, of course, hasn't gone down in flames as well. So it's a very baffling phenomenon. And the really weird thing is the fact that it is very difficult to reduce a body to that state. Because when the, you know, in the case of a crematorium, they, of course, use fuels such as oil, gas, et cetera, to, you know, and use forced air, of course, to increase the temperature. And we're talking about a temperature of around 1,000 degrees Celsius in order to, you know, vaporize and oxidize the body. And it takes about 90 minutes to 2 hours, too. And even then, you know, bone fragments generally still remain, so they need to be pulverized using a machine called a cremulator, which is basically like a sort of large blender with these ball bearings that knock around and sort of pulverize the bones and reduce them to that state. So we also, you know, it needs to be acknowledged that the human body is around 65% water. It is very, very difficult to burn a human body. So the mystery, of course, is, you know, where does the energy come from? You know, by what process is that achieved to actually reduce body to that state?
Randall has a question. It's for Lewis Proud, which will be asked in our next segment with Gene. And Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The death toll from severe storms that have battered the central U.S. this week have now climbed to 9 people. The region is still bracing for more flooding as rivers rise rapidly. President Trump has declared a state of emergency in Oklahoma. Meteorologist Allison Chinchar.
Typically in the month of May, you would average only 268 tornadoes. Keep in mind, May is the peak month for this. But so far this May, we've had a preliminary number of 327. So we are already above average. Keep in mind, we still have more severe weather expected before we finish out the rest of the month.
President Trump is in Tokyo on a state visit as the U.S. and Japan work out a trade deal. He tweeted that he has confidence that Kim Jong-un of North Korea will keep his promise regarding nuclear testing. This is USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Milberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So to recap, of course, we're talking to Lewis Proud. I asked him about spontaneous human combustion. Randall had a question.
Yeah, we've in the realm of the paranormal, we've most of us have heard about spontaneous human combustion, but you're down in Australia, right? Or actually Tasmania, if I'm recalling correctly. So you're in a completely different part of the world.
Yeah.
Are there cases down there? Whereabouts in the world? Is this just a more of a European or North American, or does it tend to happen all over the place?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it does happen all over the world. I mean, most of the sort of famous cases, cases that occurred in North America and Europe as well. I am aware of sort of rumors of cases in Australia, but sort of nothing really kind of definite and concrete. So most of the cases that I discuss in my book, Borderland Phenomena, are, you know, European and American cases.
There's one in particular, the Mary Reeser case. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I discuss this case in quite some detail in my book. It's one of the most famous and fascinating cases. And it's a case that was also very thoroughly investigated as well, probably more so than any other case. It's a case that occurred in 1951, and it happened to a lady who was 67 years old, Mrs. Mary Hardy Reeser. She was the widow of a doctor, and she lived in Columbia, Pennsylvania, before moving to St. Petersburg, Florida, the reason being that she wanted to be closer to her son and his family. She really didn't like Florida much at all because it was very, you know, she found it too hot and humid, and she was quite depressed in the weeks leading up to her death. So she'd been living in this small apartment only 5 weeks, when the incident happened, and it happened on the night of the 1st or 2nd of July. And basically they found her body almost entirely reduced to ash. There were a few parts of her body that were unburned. That included her purportedly shrunken skull, part of her left foot, which was still clad in its slipper, a chunk of backbone, and, of course, the chair on which she was seated as well. That was also reduced to ash, apart from the, you know, the metal components, the springs, etc. And there were only two people who saw her, or rather there were two people who saw her just before she died. That was on the evening of the 1st of July. That was her son and her landlady, Pansy Carpenter. And basically what happened is that morning on the 2nd of July, Pansy Carpenter did recall, you know, she heard like a strange sort of a dull thud. And then she also noticed the sort of, that was very early that morning. And then she, later that morning, she went to take a telegram to Mrs. Reese's apartment, and she touched the screen door, and it was actually hot to the touch. And that's when she, you know, smelt smoke, and she noticed that there was soot on the walls of the hallway. And then, of course, she alerted the police, and the firefighters came as well to investigate. Yeah, and the other odd thing, too, of course, as I mentioned, was SHC. There were, you know, there were objects around Mrs. Reese's remains that were pretty much untouched, and that included such things as, you know, a pile of newspapers that were, you know, weren't even touched. They were completely unscorched. There was also a daybed just a few feet away, which was completely unmarked as well. The ceilings and walls were smoke blackened and covered in soot, but it's just very surprising that the fire didn't spread. Considering that it would have taken a very high temperature to reduce her body to that state. And there was also a, it was investigated by an anthropologist, Dr. Wilton Krogman, and he was a world-leading expert on what happens to the human body when it's been exposed to fire. He'd done all sorts of experiments with human cadavers, burning them under different conditions, etc. And he just happened to be vacationing near St. Petersburg when the incident occurred. And then he was asked to give his expertise on the case. The police contacted him and asked him to talk, you know, give his expertise, as I said. And he was completely baffled by it as well. And there's a famous quote here that I'd just like to read out. He said, "I've been present at tests of body and bone reaction to extreme heat, and it's been established that heat of about 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is around 1,650 degrees Celsius, is necessary to completely consume the bones. As happened in the Risa case, I cannot conceive of such complete cremation without more burning of the apartment itself." So, yeah, all up a very strange and baffling case.
Of course, this is back in the 50s, too. So, you know, what kind of, say, confirmation of the remains of identity did they, you know, I guess maybe dental records or, I mean, today they could do DNA. Sure that it is actually the person in question, but have you researched that to see how they were able to identify these bodies?
So there were remains there, not necessarily dental records, but, you know, I mean, there was part of her left foot, which was still clad in its slipper. So, I mean, that in itself, you know, was able to give a pretty good indication that, you know, it was actually Mary Hardy Reese's body that was there. But, you know, that I should mention that Wilton Krogman, because he was so amazed by the case, he did actually make a comment to Larry Arnold, who's an expert on SHC. This was years afterwards. And he said something to the effect of, maybe it was a setup. They'd actually, or someone had cremated her body and then actually, planted the remains there in the apartment itself. And the reason is that he just couldn't explain it. I don't think that's a very convincing explanation.
That's kind of the first thing, that's why I was asking, because, what if it wasn't the person and it was, maybe just a case of somebody's been abducted and replaced with a bunch of ashes from somebody else, or today, of course, we'd have a way of confirming in no uncertain terms by DNA that it was the actual person. So are these cases still taking place at all, or when was the last case that you've heard of?
Well, the cases still do occur to this day. you know, I mean, it's an extremely rare phenomenon. I mean, occasionally an article will come out of, you know, a suspected case of SHC. The authorities, you know, they tend to be fairly quiet when it comes to these cases as well. I mean, death itself, of course, is quite a private matter. So I would say that there are probably a lot of cases occurring that the public never actually hears about, you know, simply because, yeah, they're not going to make it public. And, you know, of course, also part of the reason would be that the family members wouldn't necessarily want the public knowing about it either, you know, so as not to disrespect the person who has died, of course.
There's people that have obituaries, and in every Facebook that when somebody dies, it gets, it would be almost impossible to cover that up if that was something that happened. I mean, usually it says how people die in most obituaries.
But sometimes they don't go into a lot of detail. So the coroner will simply say, you know, that the person died in a house fire, for example. So they won't really sort of give any more information than that. You know, and also that, you know, the fact that it is so baffling, so weird, I would say in some cases they don't want to necessarily accept the possibility that it may be SHC.
Right, because you never know. I mean, a bunch of paranormal investigators show up at the funeral or whatever. Exactly. Maybe that, you know, that might be kind of something that might not be wanted if they were not into that sort of thing themselves.
Yeah.
But then, but just going on to the theories about what it could be, apart from some sort of a setup, there's, you know, what other sorts of things might be responsible? Like maybe, think that at one point you were discussing or at least entertaining the idea that it could be something like ball lightning or something like that.
We're going to have that answer. Ball lightning. Before there's ball lightning thrown on me for not breaking. At this point, we have Louis Jean and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, rockoids.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
No, ball lightning is not at all going to impact me. Right, Lewis?
Well, I suppose I should talk a little bit about the wick effect theory. I mean, this is the theory that scientists use to try and explain what happens, how this process occurs. Basically, what they say is that the human body is similar in nature to a candle, only it's inside out, so that the clothing represents the wick and the fat represents the fuel of the candle. So according to this theory, there is always some external source of ignition. Most scientists don't accept that there can be such a thing as a spontaneous form of combustion in the case of the body. So they say that there is some kind of external source of ignition. The clothing might catch fire, for example, from an ember from a fire or something like that. And then what happens is it starts to melt the fat in the body, and then the fat is drawn into the clothing. And then the person basically over a long period of time, over many hours, the body continues to smolder and sort of burn slowly, in the manner of a candle. And then, of course, kind of reduces them to the state that we see in cases of SHC. So that's really the orthodox theory to try and explain these cases. The thing is, though, they have done a lot of experiments with the wick effect. They have used, for example, pig carcasses. What they usually do is they'll wrap the pig in a blanket. They always find that they have to use some kind of accelerant, such as petrol, kerosene, etc., to try and get the flames going. So they light the blanket, and then the carcass will sort of burn. But really what's been observed in the case of these experiments is very underwhelming.
When a person is alive, I mean, we're assuming that, okay, they died of a heart attack first or something, and they're just lying there, and their cigarette burns down and manages to start a fire or something. But I'm not an expert on this, but I have run across a couple of stories where one guy said he was just sitting there, and there was this odd light and smell coming from his arm, and he was alive in it when it started with him.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that if that's going on, people would be out trying to get help.
Exactly. Yeah,
if it took hours for it to happen, I mean, that's lots of time to get to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, at the same time, though, that quite a few of these victims are, you know, elderly, invalid people, and it could be possible, too, that I suppose they could pass out from smoke inhalation or something of that nature. But, yeah, no, certainly there have been cases, too, where people have talked about, I suppose, you know, one particular part of their body catching fire in a spontaneous manner. And there's been no external source of ignition. And, of course, there has been, in some cases, too, other witnesses as well, people who have confirmed that this has happened. One of the really weird things, too, is that what's been observed by other people is the victims do seem to enter a kind of a trance state. They seem to go into a kind of altered state of consciousness when the phenomenon occurs. So that seems to be an aspect of the phenomenon as well. So it could be possible that when this happens, the person is basically in a kind of a trance state of consciousness. They're unaware of what's going on, and maybe that's what allows the process to continue occurring.
Well, who would be witnessing that then? I mean, then they would be the ones to try and get help or put the fire out.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So there have been cases where there have been witnesses, and then they've tried to, you know, put out the flames themselves as well. Often what happens is because the fire is so intense, you know, the person sustains such terrible burns that they generally die from complications resulting from those burns, you know, in hospital, you know, days later, that kind of thing. So there are cases of that nature. The theory that I find, I suppose, the most appealing, the most convincing, is the theory that this is some kind of subconscious form of suicide. So basically, the theory states that SHC is related to poltergeistry. So we find, of course, in the case of a poltergeist, that there is always, you know, there's a person at the center of that activity, referred to as the focus or agent. What seems to happen is the activity seems to be a form of, you know, it's got to do with the person having a, you know, all these pent up emotions and you know, all these repressed emotions, anger, etc. Generally, it's a teenager, someone going through puberty. So what seems to happen is the activity is a way for them to vent all of that pent up anger and frustration, to kind of direct it into the external environment. And that's what leads to the psychokinetic effects, objects being thrown around, etc. So the theory is, and this is a theory that Vincent Gaddis, famous 14, discusses in his book Mysterious Fires and Lights. He said that in the case of poltergeistry, the energy is directed outwards into the external environment. And in the case of SHC, it seems as though the energy is directed inwards, and it's used to essentially, you know, end that person's life. And he also talks about the fact that the body is, you know, it has its own electrical system. So possibly it's got to do with some kind of malfunction within the body's electrical system, because all of our activity in the body, of course, happens as a result of, you know, nerve impulses. It's essentially electrochemical in nature. So there could be some kind of, you know, malfunction was in that body's electrical, was in the body's electrical system caused by negative suicidal thoughts, which then, you know, it triggers the process in such a way that the person, you know, literally kind of bursts into flames. So, and the other thing too, you know, we need to realize that SHC, it is very much a human phenomenon. There doesn't seem to be really any cases of animals succumbing to SHC, or we just call it spontaneous combustion in this case. You know, so it does seem to be unique to human beings. And what makes humans special, of course, is the fact that we do have very advanced minds. You know, we have, you know, you could say that we're the most sophisticated animal on the planet, you know, as a result of having such an advanced mind, such advanced sort of consciousness, if you like, and obviously we seem to be a lot more intelligent than other animals. So I think it very much is a matter of subconscious suicide. We have these kind of hidden powers, if you like, and that's what causes things like poltergeistry, SHC, etc. So that's really my take on what's occurring. It is only a theory, of course, but I think it's the most convincing theory so far.
I want to tell our listeners, if you want to hear from Larry Arnold, who wrote a book called Ablaze and talking about spontaneous human combustion. We had him on our third episode of the Paracast, March 14th, 2006, second half of the show. So if you're interested, go check it out. Let's continue, Randall.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting theory. What was it in the Matrix? They use people as power sources and saying, you know, something to the effect that the human body generates more electricity than a 120-volt battery and over 25,000 BTUs of body heat or something like that. So, I mean, I don't know how much science there is in that, but there's no question that the body is a bioelectric system. I guess bones and stuff have a lot of magnesium, and that stuff will burn even underwater. So who knows exactly how – I mean, something's going on. It seems like there's too many cases to just dismiss it as being nothing more than tabloid news.
Yep, absolutely, yeah, yep.
But what about this connection with ball lightning now here? We started off with that, but we never got to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is another theory that I discuss in the book in Borderland Phenomena. So we do know that, you know, ball lightning, you know, as with linear lightning, it is capable of inflicting injury and death on humans and animals. You know, there are some famous cases of people being struck by ball lightning and dying. The most famous case would be that of George William Reichman in 1753. So he was a Swedish physicist and living in Russia, I believe, and he was trying to replicate one of Benjamin Franklin's experiments. Basically, he had a rod set up that he was using as an electrical indicator. There was a thunderstorm nearby, so he rushed over to sort of check his equipment, and he'd set it up in his house right near the window. So there was a thunderstorm some distance away. And then suddenly what happened is this, it was described as like a palish ball of fire as big as a fist. It emerged from the end of the rod and it struck him on the forehead and he fell backwards and he died instantly.
Let's do our break here, folks. And died instantly. Well, at least he didn't feel it. I'm being gruesome here. Here's a special announcement on this week's episode of After the Paracast. Not only will we have William Puckett's segment on new UFO sightings, we'll also feature Chris Rutkowski, and both will talk about this new set of MJ-12 documents revealed by William. You can only hear After the Paracast if you're a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. For more information, check plus.theparacast.com. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Oh, these pains. My neck, my back, shoulders. I've got to get some relief.
Stress from everyday life, past injuries, or surgeries can cause inflammation that leads to pain, but you don't want to take another pill.
There's an easier, healthier way, right?
Yes, with hot or cold therapy products at sunshine-pillows.com.
Pillows? For my aches and pains?
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows, plus travel pillows. Pillows
microwavable body heating wraps, and more. It's all available to you online.
Finally, stress relief with no drugs.
Right. And now you can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off. Just use this promo code, SAVE30, when you click sunshine-pillows.com. Save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Use promo code SAVE30. Sunshine-pillows.com. Your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.